And we look forward to what God is going to do in him and his wife here and in the future. Thank you. Yes.
Well, it's a privilege to be able to speak to you again this evening and to share one of my loves. The Lord has really given both Leah and I a love for the country of Cambodia, for the people of Cambodia. And so I count it a privilege to be able to share that with you. Let's see. Okay, I think I'll stand off to the side a little bit so that you all, hopefully all of you can see, right? Okay, good. So, this is my beautiful wife. I know you didn't get a chance to meet her because she is still at home recovering, but perhaps, I'm not sure exactly the timing, but perhaps next week we might be able to visit. And that way, all of you could get a chance to meet Leah. So, we first arrived in Cambodia in August, beginning of August of 2015. And we first thing that we looked for was a place to rent. And the Lord provided a place that's right next door to the missionaries that we were serving under for our first term. And so we ended up having to do a little bit of remodeling. The upstairs bathroom was so small that there was no sink.
Whoa.
No way to fit a sink in there. And so we ended up moving one of the walls a little bit so that there was space to put a sink in. Also, let's see. Oh, hit the wrong button. Okay, here we go. Yeah, so also in this area, the countertop originally just went straight across, so we added some countertop area, did a lot of cleaning, lots of different stuff to help make it a home for us. So that was first thing, and then as we continued on, we began studying the language. Now, I had already spent a year in Cambodia, so I had a jump start on my wife, but she is... done very well, and this is our language teacher here. He came to our house, and we studied more or less about 2 hours a day in the beginning. And then later on, we ended up, and this is later on in the slides, later on we went to a formal language school in addition to studying at home. So only about 4 months after arriving there, the missionaries that we were serving under the Johnsons went back to the States, or came back to the States, for their furlough. That meant that I was responsible for taking care of all the church services. So that was very challenging, but it was also growing and stretching for me. It was very good. So I began preaching in Khmer very quickly. Now, I am very thankful for the patience of the Khmer people, especially the patience of the church members, because it was very slow, very slow in the beginning. But over time, little bit by little bit, we ended up getting better. And I had a video of me preaching in Cambodian just a little bit before I came back, but doesn't work with the audiovisual equipment, so I'll have to give you an example. Okay? Live. Okay? Chum rup su bong bong ting ok nia. Lo na dao ban in chun mo, tam bai nung, bam ra praong, thoi bong kum, hai nung, srap pre bantu ru bap praong. And so, keep on going. So, that would be like an introduction to message or something like that. So, anyway, then... So that was going through December is when, December of 2015 was when we had our, began and continued all the way through July. During that time, Leah began having some pain in her abdomen, went to a doctor in Cambodia, found out that she had endometriosis, and ended up going to Australia, was referred to a doctor in Australia for a surgery. Some of you might have seen that in our email updates. So She's doing well now. That's the endometriosis is the reason why she has not been able to have children yet. So that's something that we are asking the Lord for. Humanly speaking, probably not going to happen. But with God, all things are possible.
Yes,
so we are continuing to trust the Lord with that. As I mentioned earlier, we began formal language school, especially once the missionaries we were serving under the Johnsons came back from the States, then that freed us up to be able to really focus on our language learning even more. So that was a challenge, but it was also very good. So we had some time ministering together, but then some family emergencies came up for the Johnsons again, and so they had to return to the States because Mrs. Johnson's mother passed away, and they had some settling of the estate and all that they needed to do. And so they ended up being back in the States for about 3 months, 3 to 4 months, December 2016 to March of last year. And at that time, we began to take some trips out to the different provinces. So this is Kampong Spu, Kampot, Tikayo, Southern Gandao Province. All of these are areas that the missionaries we were serving under had, you could say, like mission stations. Some of them were churches, some of them were preaching points or whatever. And so we went out to be an encouragement to the Khmer people and also to learn from them and to practice language skills, to learn some of the practical aspects of ministry in the country. So we ended up helping some of the Khmer pastors there. Over on the left-hand side, you can see a bed that we slept on. It's pretty much just boards. And then it has a very, very thin mat cushion on top of it. So, you know, you spend a couple nights and it's okay. You may not sleep the best. We say that we sleep like a rotisserie chicken. You just keep turning back and forth, back and forth. Oh, but there's nothing like the opportunity to be able to share the gospel, to be just a part of what's going on and getting the gospel to some of the remote areas. We went to one of the church members in Kampot here, went to her banana plantation, banana farm, and there had not been very many people going up to buy her bananas, and so some of the bananas were rotting on the trees, so we helped harvest some and take them back to her house where she could process them into like a banana leather type thing. So that was another experience. And it takes about 3.5 hours by moto to get out to this particular place. It's the furthest out of all of the different ministries. So that's a challenge to ride a motorcycle for 3.5 hours over bumpy roads and everything, but the Lord protected us, and is good. So we enjoyed fellowshipping with the different Khmer groups. This would be a typical setting where you just sit down. They have a kre, what they call a kre, which is like a large wooden, almost like a bench, like a bed, kind of. And so we'd sit down and fellowship with them. Usually they'd bring something to eat, and we'd talk for, I don't know, half an hour, whatever, and we'd go on to another, sometimes we'd go on to another house, do the same thing. You might notice something a little interesting in the center. If you look very carefully, this is a Toyota Highlander that we're in. This is a taxi. You notice there's two people in the passenger side front seat. But not just that. If you look very carefully, there's actually somebody between the driver and the door on the driver's side. So in the front, you have four across and a Toyota Highlander. So, you know, traveling is always an adventure. So this is just some of the little things that are different. And then the Lord ended up bringing another opportunity across our path, which was another missionary that was going to the States and asked us to cover for them. But this was in a different area. This was in the province of Svidiang. And so you can see the Svai Dieng, that area, which was very different from the city where we had been, of the capital city of Phnom Penh, where we had been most of the time. And he had been working on getting a church going there, but there hadn't been a lot of response in the area. And so there were no official church services going on. And so we went there with a desire to at least begin discipleship with whoever would be interested in the gospel, willing to start a discipleship, and then evangelistic Bible study, and then hopefully have at least some sort of base for when the missionary came back to be able to build on that. So it was an area that was mostly rice farming and also garment factories. And so my wife really loved this area, especially. And I enjoyed it too. There's nothing like the green of a rice field. And so it's a beautiful landscape, but a lot of it has to do with the people, that the Lord has given us a love for that as well. So my wife learned how to cook Khmer food because I've heard it said, and I really think it's true, that probably for just about every people group, but especially for the Khmer people, it is very meaningful to them if you can speak their language and eat their food. And so Leah's really worked on learning to cook the Khmer food, because it's interesting. You go to the market or whatever, you're interacting with people, and they look in your basket, and you're like, hey, you eat the same stuff that we do. It helps to show them that we're people just like their people. We're not sort of a different race or different, you know, like way different from each other. And that helps to break down some of the barriers. So we've also been just beginning to work on learning some of the Khmer musical instruments. And we had our first time helping in a church service just before we came back on our furlough. And so when we go back, we're planning on continuing to practice and to learn. There are a couple reasons for this. One is that Christianity is looked at as a Western religion, because if you're born Khmer, you're born Buddhist. Therefore, they think if you're born Western, you're born Christian. So there's this idea that you cannot be both Khmer and Christian. And if we take Khmer instruments and play hymns, or there are also Khmer hymns that were written by Khmers that are really good, then that helps them to see you can be Khmer and Christian, just like you can be American and Christian. You can be German and Christian. You can be Chinese and Christian. It doesn't matter. Christianity does not have to do with your ethnicity, because Jesus saves people from all peoples, all groups. And so it helps to break down some of the barriers. We're also planning on using this as a reproducible model. One of our primary goals in the way that we do ministry is that the Khmer people would be able to take what we're doing and copy it. Now, if you teach English in order to gain a crowd, that's not necessarily wrong. That's not a problem. But we've chosen to focus on what is reproducible, because a Khmer would have it a very difficult time teaching English to be able to gather a crowd and all. Some do it, but usually it takes a long time to learn English first. So our desire is to take something that they can do. If we can learn a Khmer instrument, certainly they can. And be able to take that and use that as a way to gather a crowd and to begin to share about creation, about, you know, encouraging, you know, just evangelism of different kinds. And so that is one of our focus things, you know, things that we want to do going forward and in our second term. So in Svai Dieng, for that third furlough replacement. We didn't think that we were going to have this many furlough replacements, but it's how God worked it out. And it was great to be able to have experience in different ministries before kind of branching out on our own. So I had the opportunity to do an evangelistic Bible study with Line. He's here. He's sells Khmer dessert, and so we'd meet probably about 3 to 4 times a week, and we would sit down, and when he had customers, he would serve the customers. When he was just sitting waiting for them, we would sit together, and we'd go through the lesson. And so sometimes there was a little bit of disruption, but he really had a desire, a hunger for the Word of God. And so it was exciting. In the beginning, there was another missionary that was there that we overlapped with. And so he started, and I learned a lot from him just in how to present the gospel to a Khmer, you know, coming from that background. And then I was able to continue with it and really trust that he sincerely came to know Christ as Savior. And so that was, he's continuing on in discipleship with the missionary who is back there that we were covering for. He's back in Cambodia now and continuing on with discipleship. So that's very encouraging. And then also, there was a second guy, and this man originally connected with the missionary that we were replacing in Svidian. And he began discipleship. I didn't get to, because he had moved out of town, because of work-related reasons, I didn't get to meet with him as much. But he asked me to baptize him. And it was exciting to see his testimony for Christ. He was excited. He wanted to be baptized.
Oh, yeah.
It was not, you know, me saying, okay, now it's time to be baptized. Yeah. No, he came to me and said, I need to be baptized. And so that was very exciting. This was actually the first time that I had baptized somebody.
Wow.
And so that was a special privilege and opportunity there. So as we were praying about the future, you know, what should we do? Where should we go? Where does God want us to serve in the future? We began to think and pray about a particular province. It's the newest province in Cambodia, of Thabong Khmom is what it's called. It means, it's a Khmer translation of the word amber. So this is Thabong Khmom. And this is the capital city of Phnom Penh, and it's about a 3.5 hour drive from the capital city. The province has over 700,000 people, but less than, this is according to the government's census, less than 0.1% are Christian.
Wow.
In this particular province. Now, on the country as a whole, it's probably about 1.5%, maybe 2%. So this area has much less gospel witness than some of the other areas in Cambodia. As far as we know, there's only one Baptist missionary in the province, and little to no active church planting or evangelism. Back maybe 15 years ago or so, 15, 20 years ago, there was a lot more activity of Korean Presbyterians who would be, at least in Cambodia, they are evangelical. It means they believe the gospel. We would have other differences with them, but at least they do preach the gospel.
Amen.
But what has happened in this particular province, from what we've been able to see and even talk to some of the head government leader that was responsible for matters of religion in the province, he said that Christianity is very much on the decline in this particular province.
Wow.
And so, you know, churches that used to have more adults don't anymore. And so as we were learning more about this, we decided to take, we ended up taking 2 survey trips. So this is the first survey trip. We went with a group of other missionaries there in Cambodia to, because sometimes it's easier if you have multiple people to pick up different things and to think it through. And actually, there's two more couples that are considering going to this province as well, along with us. So that would be three, but that all in different areas, different regions of the province. So the second survey trip that we took was in February, this February. So just, what, a month ago now, basically? So just before we returned for our furlough. And it's an interesting area, the area that we are specifically considering. It's called the District of Panjikrai. The economy in that particular area is mostly pepper plantations. There, I have some black pepper on the back table, you might have noticed. That comes from this province. And so there's black pepper and then also a lot of rubber trees. So they tap them similar to like maple trees, and they would gather the sap, and that's where rubber comes from. So they have like thousands and thousands of acres, tens of thousands of acres of rubber tree plantations in that area. This would be a, you know, typical of the architecture of the homes in that area. And also, there's in the district of Panjikrai, there are many different religious groups, you could say, that are there. There's a lot of Chinese influence, people of Chinese ancestry that have intermarried with the Khmer, and those have very strong attachments to ancestor worship. Then there's also Buddhism, which is the state religion of Cambodia. About 90%+ of the people follow Buddhism. But there's also a significant, in this particular area, significant number of Cham, Muslim, the Islamic group. And those form maybe like 5% of the country, but they have a definite presence in this area. So have many different ethnic groups. It's very close to the border with Vietnam. So you have Vietnamese, you have Chinese, Khmer, and then the Cham, the Muslim as well. So it is a very interesting area, you'd say, to go to. And this is some of our prayer requests relating to this particular area. I feel similar to Paul when he said there's an open door and many adversaries.
Yep.
That Amen. In looking ahead, there's a lot of spiritual breakthroughs that will need to happen, of spiritual strongholds that will need to come down. There's, you know, I'll go through this and explain what I mean as we go through this, prayer requests. Number one, pray that God would glorify himself by calling out a people for his name in Tubong Kamun province. That's the whole province area, and specifically in Panjikrai district. And this is the area that we're considering going to. We have not necessarily like nailed it down, set it in stone, but this is where we are planning. This is what we're thinking towards. Pray that God would prepare hearts to receive the gospel. Because especially in an area that has had almost no witness over the last 15, 20 years, or really even hardly at all, it's like turning a forest into a field. You have to cut down the trees. You have to grub out the stumps. You have to take out the stones. You have to plow it. Then you sow the seed, water. You know, there's a lot of steps that have to happen before there's a harvest. And so we are praying that God would go before us and start removing some of those obstacles of taking down the strongholds, of opening people's hearts to receive the gospel. Then also, this is something that God already wants to do, I believe, and we're joining him in what he's doing and asking him to accomplish his will in it. Pray that the fear of evil spirits would be broken. The worship of evil spirits or ancestral spirits is part of the daily life of practically all Khmer's. All of them have a little shrine in their house where they would offer incense to the guardian spirits of the house, to their ancestral spirits, like if their grandparents, great-grandparents, people who have died, they continue to light incense to them. And in the particular area that we're thinking of going to, there's Chinese, they call them a nat da. It means it's basically a guardian spirit for that area. And so there's territorial spirits, evil spirits, that are in control. And so when we're going into enemy territory. But at the same time, we remember that Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. And so we're taking the promise of God, but yet also recognizing that we can't go in blind and say, oh, it probably doesn't matter, go on, you know, whatever. You need to pray and need to ask the Lord to open the doors and to stop the working of the evil spirits in that area that would blind people from the gospel and distract them from understanding the gospel. Also pray that God would connect us to key people who will help us to make effective inroads into the community. It is so important who you make initial contact with.
Amen.
Because you read in the New Testament, there's Cornelius, there's the jailer, there's Lydia, there's people that God connected the apostles too, that were an open door, not just to that person, but to their household, not just that, but beyond that, into their connections, their business connections, business partnerships, their whole community, their whole people that were around them. And so that's very important in asking that God would connect us to the right people that would open doors in the community. Please pray that God would provide us a place to rent. This area has zero foreigners, none, now, as far as Westerners there. And we'll probably be in a situation, we've already asked if there's rental houses there, and we've been told that they don't have any places to rent in this particular area. So what other missionaries have done before, and they advised us to do, is basically you find a house that you think from the outside might be one that you would be interested in renting, and you talk to the owner and say, well, have you ever thought about renting your house? And that's, so it may take a little while to find a place to establish a presence in that area. But God has done things before where he has very quickly opened the door for a place to rent. But it may take some time, too. That's all up to the Lord in the timing of things. But certainly something to pray about. So that's the presentation. And so do we have any questions? Yes.
I noticed that you were discipling a man and then you baptized the man. Typically, it's women first. Is it a cultural thing that the men go first in order to feel you out and protect their women, or was that just circumstances?
That was circumstances.
It
is very important, the part that men play in society, because they are the leaders. And if a man responds to Christ, many times his wife and children will follow. If children respond to Christ, the parents don't necessarily follow. And so it creates very difficult situations. And of course, we minister to everybody. But the part of men, especially mature men in a church, cannot be underestimated.
Yeah. So with that said then, your focus is not to start like little Bible clubs for children, things like that, and get yourself a following of children. You're going after families, you're going after the man in order for it to cascade down that way.
Yes. Yeah. We would want to start with evangelistic Bible studies in their home. There's a couple different reasons for that. One is that when you're witnessing or, you know, going through an evangelistic Bible study with one person who's open, there are many other people around that are listening. And so it's an opportunity for other people to listen in a non-confrontational situation. They're taking it in, thinking about it. And so also when it comes time to start a church, you can start it right there in their house. Doesn't require, you know, building or anything. They can start meeting right there in their house, and it can grow from there. And so that way it's something that they can do too. Again, the reproducible idea. So, yes. I'll try to give a short answer to that. In that particular area, they started with a lot of handouts, with a lot of giving out rice, money, whatever, humanitarian aid. And so as a result, there were a lot of people that flocked to the churches. But over time, they have gradually decreased that to the point that now they don't give a lot of handouts or a lot of different things. And so as a result, as the living standard of people has risen, and as the handouts, the number of handouts or, you know, humanitarian aid or help has fallen, then a lot of the people are not interested anymore. They don't come to church. They don't whatever. So that's part of the reason for the decline in that particular area.
I went to a high school which is run by some Presbyterians. Mm-hmm. And then Dr. DeBubbs and his wife, Professor Tannis, somewhere over there. Mm-hmm. And we had quite a few graduate from high school, went on to college, and then on to over there as Presbyterians, mm-hmm. doctors, and nurses.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think in the front here, did you have a question?
Yes.
Yes.
What do they eat? They eat
rice and meat and vegetables. That's usually every meal is they'll have either a soup or a stir fry of meat and vegetables along with rice. Rice is like 2 to 3 times a day, and we love it. It's really good stuff. It's really, when you learn to appreciate the taste, it is really, really good. Yes. Yes, it was in the river. Yep. We baptize people wherever there's water. And that usually means a river. Yep. Yes. Oh, do we have like a part in the services for the children? Children's Church. Our missionary co-workers in Cambodia, they have a special time for the children during the service. Mm-hmm. See. Yes.
The rice dish in the video looked really good. Is the food over there spicy?
Not really. It can be, but most of the time it is not. Thai food is spicy, but Khmer food is not so spicy normally. Yeah. Let's see. Over here? Yes. I should have clarified, they all speak the same language. They all speak Khmer, but their ethnic background is from all of these different, yeah. The Cham people have their own language as well, but all of them also know Khmer because they are in Khmer society. They're a very small minority, and so they have to be fluent in Khmer in order to survive. Yeah. So that's one of the benefits of Cambodia, is it's pretty much monolingual. That everybody understands Khmer. Yeah. Yes?
I know you said in that one province that you were in, there was just the one Baptist
yes.
church missionary, but do you know in the whole country, how many churches are there that are actually natives
That's a good question. I'm not sure of the answer to that. As far as churches where there's a Kamai in charge, and the church is not getting any sort of assistance, they're fully on their own, I'm aware of probably like 30 to 40, primarily concentrated in the Northeast. I'm sure there are more than that, but those are the ones that I'm aware of. Yes. They believe that they are worshiping their dead ancestors, or they're, you know, providing food. They offer food. They offer all of these things. I could go into a lot of the background of what they believe, but they have at least four different kinds of evil spirits that they have names for. They have a spirit of the year. They have an angel is what they call it, an angel, but it's a spirit of the year. They have, in addition to that, they also have spirits for guardians, several different types of guardian spirits, some for the house, some for the village, some for the province, some for the particular plot of land, of rice field or whatever. It's full. Their culture is full of worship and of fear that they're going to, because they have to have some spirits to protect them from other spirits. That's how they work it, is they have the spirits that are on their side to protect them in case some other spirit gets upset. I have one to protect me. They have like a guardian spirit. So they are constantly having to offer incense, offer this, offer that. You know, if something, you know, if they have bad luck, if their motor gets stolen, if this happens, you know, business isn't going good, then they go to a soothsayer, like they call him a krukmai, which is somebody that, like a fortune teller, that would say, okay, you have to offer, you know, this particular thing to this particular spirit because he's upset at you for this and that. And that's their normal life.
So do they believe they can see any of this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are several different kinds of spirits that many Kamais will say they have seen.
Whoa.
So it's very real in Cambodia. Let's see. Do you have a question? They don't have very many wild animals left. There's a few elephants and tigers way up in the mountains, but we never see them. Other than that, they have a few snakes, and then it's like cows and chickens, ducks, you know, cats, you know, like all of your normal animals. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Does that often happen where they have to travel a long way because the area they're in, they don't have much work?
Happens somewhat frequently, only normally they don't go just an hour down the road. They go to Thailand.
Oh.
Or to Malaysia or Korea. There's a lot of migrant workers that leave the country for years.
Oh.
Yeah, for a year, 3 years, 5 years, and they come back. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that seen by them as a gateway to the afterlife? Basically, if they can appease or be on the good side of relatives, then that kind of gives them an in to get to the good side?
And it's a little bit different. Yeah, I'll explain the thinking behind that, at least as far as I understand it. Children, part of Kamai society that is very deeply ingrained is that children honor their parents. That is very important to the whole fabric of society. In fact, you keep honoring your parents after they're dead.
Wow.
you keep taking care of them. They took care of you when you were young. You're responsible to take care of them when they are old. And so many of them don't take care of their parents until they're dead. And then they offer, you know, all kinds of things to the ancestral spirit. And they keep taking care of them after death. So that's how that works. That's how the bondage works. So to break with the worship of the ancestral spirits looks to the culture like, I don't care about my parents anymore. I don't care about my grandparents. I'm not going to take care of them. That's what that they get persecuted over that issue. And so we counter that by saying, as Christians, we are responsible to honor our parents, to take care of them, and we take care of them while they're still alive, while they can still eat the food that we, you know, give to them, so that they can still wear the clothes that we give to them, so that they can know, you know, that they can receive it. And so that's how we counter that. Yes? Nope, they come to church too. They come into the service. It's a lot different, I tell you what. Meeting in a house where everybody's together, you know. So, yeah, it's quite informal, but you can still have a very worshipful atmosphere. Still be honoring and glorifying to the Lord. Yep, so no nurseries. Yes. It did take a while. Yeah. She loves it there. Now, when she came back to Tucson, she's like, I'm drying out. My skin is flaking. You know, because over in Cambodia, it's like 70, 80% humidity practically year-round. So very different. And she really enjoys it there, the food and all of that. So she's having a tough time adjusting back to the States, actually. So... yeah, she's... yes. She was fine over in Cambodia. Come to America, get sick. So, so, and we have time for a couple more questions, maybe. Yes.
Has she, where you're staying with your family, has she cooked anything? Have you cooked, shared any of their food?
We've tried to. The problem is that... where is the ingredients? You know, where are you going to find lemongrass? Where are you going to find galangal? Where are you going to find, you know, turmeric and some of the, you know, fresh turmeric? Yeah. Fresh ginger. Not the old brown stuff with the skin, but this is the light, you know, has a light, thin skin. You know, there's different things like that that are ingredients that, you know, you just can't find here. So, okay, last question here.
How long did it take for you to...
I'm still learning. I can preach in Khmer, but learning a foreign language is a lifetime process. So gradually getting more and more fluent, you know, over time. And so we're at the point where we can be able to branch out on our own, but it'll be like jumping in the deep end, you know, where you're... gradually, you get to a certain point in language learning where you have to learn by experience, and that's about it. So that's where we're at as we continue to learn and to grow. Well, before we go to our homes tonight, I'd like to open the Word of God. So Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I'd like to challenge you with this thought. You know, when you're away from the States for a long time, we've been away for 2.5 years, you notice things coming back. One of the things that I've noticed, even in reading the news, is that there is a lot more anti-Christian sentiment than there used to be. In other words, it's getting harder to stand for what you believe because there's more pressure to be quiet, to not say something when certain topics come up, you know, and especially those of you who have jobs out in the, you know, in different businesses, you have work associates, you have different things that are going on. And I'm talking also to the younger people in this room, too. I'm talking to myself, that the future will bring great challenges. The present is greatly challenging. But I encourage myself through this particular verse of Scripture and many others as well. But Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And when we talked this morning, many of you were here for the Sunday school time for the adults, that our role on this earth is to bring honor and glory to the Lord and to help others, to lead others to worship and honor and glorify the Lord as well. And so we will not bring others to honor and glorify the Lord if we are ashamed of our relationship with Him. This is key. This is core to who we are and our purpose here on earth. If you look through the Old Testament, if you look through the New Testament, you will find that the world always persecuted true believers, that they always stood against them. Sometimes it was in word. Sometimes it was through actual physical persecution, but you find that there is always this pressure to be quiet. Don't speak in His name, as in the New Testament, as the Sanhedrin, the Jews said to those first Christians. And in our day, increasingly, there is an attitude in our society that's, don't speak in His name. So what do we respond? It's easy to be quiet. But we ought to be bold. Now, not a, you know, a self-dependent, oh, I'll let them, I'll tell them what's true. You know, not like that. No, in gracious wisdom, but yet firmly standing for what for the truth of God's word. As Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's easy to say in a room in which we all agree. It's different when we go out there and we have to stand for what we believe. But whether it's in Cambodia, whether it's in the United States, honestly, in a way, it's harder in the States. Because in Cambodia, for us, they expect us to be Christian. They expect us to have certain, you know, and sure, we might get a little persecution here and there, but it's really the Khmer's that bear the brunt of it. But here in the States, you can get pressure, major pressure, not people throwing stones at you, but we feel the social pressure that says, don't speak. And the challenge is, speak. Open your mouth. And say, no, I don't believe that abortion is right. And talk, you know, when that comes up. Why? Because God created people. God gave life to people. We are made in God's image. It's not like killing an animal because we are created. And you can take it and go into the gospel with that.
Amen.
You know, there's other issues that are kind of hot button issues. And we should prepare a response so that we know when that issue comes up, we know what we're going to say, and we can lead it into the gospel if the person's open, if the Lord provides that opportunity. And so I would encourage all of us here, and I'm encouraging myself too, that we be not ashamed.
Amen.
Of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, when we look ahead at the challenges in Thabong Kamum and Punye Krai district, we encourage ourselves that the gospel is the power of God into salvation, amen, that the Holy Spirit is working there, because God, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." That God is in the business, is working to draw people to himself. He is revealing himself through his creation. He is working to call out a people for his name. And so we get an opportunity to cooperate together with him. But if we stay silent, they're not going to hear. And God has chosen to work through us to get his message out. So I'd encourage you, don't be ashamed, amen, of the gospel.
Praise the Lord.
Don't be ashamed of your Savior.
That's good.
You know, sometimes we can get discouraged. Mm-hmm. I don't know all that you have been through as a church,
right.
But I know that we live in a challenging day. Don't give up. Stand for what you believe. Open your mouth when God provides the opportunity to.
Amen.
Especially in your work associates and your people that you know. And trust in the Lord. Because he still is in the business of drawing people to himself.
Amen.
Be bold in the Lord. Don't be ashamed, because the gospel is the power of the living God unto salvation. So, Brother White.
That was good. That was a good challenge.